I know more about sports than you, good sir.
Tis to laugh. Dare I say my grandmother could outsport you any day of the week.
Gentlemen, may I borrow your ear for a moment?
But of course!
BetDSI.net is an awesome site where you can play for free and win real cash. Are you a sports nut with a lot of confidence?
Thoroughly.
Maybe you're a casual fan with a flair for the stats.
Guilty!
Put your knowledge to the test and win real cash at BetDSI.net. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it's just another way to enjoy the sport you already love. It's BetDSI.net.
Huzzah!
The best NHL analysis and insight. It's what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Wrapping up the weekend style on Hockey Central at noon. Thanks for stopping by. We've got things we learned in the NHL this week, brought to you by Boston Pizza. That's coming up later on, plus run down tonight's schedule for you. A lot happened last night. Darren Millard here with PJ Stock and John Shannon, two-thirds of the world's greatest pre-game show on Saturday. It's
well
on
done,
hiatus.
Not this Saturday.
No, it's on hiatus for a couple of weeks. You see, if you just give me a beat, I'll explain it.
If I gave you a beat, it would be 12:52 and we'd be...
I'd like to give you a beat-ing.
Oh. One of those.
So,
Millard.
Hey, just useless stat from last night. Chicago wins in overtime. Jonathan Toews scores the winner. Washington wins in overtime. Alexander Ovechkin scores the winner. What does that have in common? Well, they both missed the All-Star game, had to sit out their team's first game back. And they come back and score. Did you guys know that?
I just gave Darren that useless stat, actually. And Stan gave it to me earlier this morning. It's interesting, though.
Stan, the stat man.
Yeah, it's interesting because they both missed the All-Star game. And
I just said that.
No, let me finish my point. And you think the karma would be go a different way?
Why would it go a different way?
All the hockey karma, like the John Scott situation from the All-Star game, the guys, the superstars that kind of should be there, and I understand why they're missing the game, and they take their penalty like, man, the teams do. Everything kind of is kind of backfiring on that All-Star game, that All-Star weekend from, you know, John Scott shouldn't have been the hero. It should have played out differently. Mm-hmm. The guys that were suspended a couple games shouldn't come back and get the game winners next game. It just makes all those things right. And now I'm done. You guys can have the next 57 minutes.
When your show's on hiatus for a couple of weeks,
what do you do?
Do you just shut it down? Because that made no sense.
You just didn't. Well, no, it makes a lot of sense, but you're used to working with guys that kind of, you know.
Can I say something?
Hey, John, how are you?
Happy birthday, Don Cherry.
82.
Yep. He's in Kamloops, BC today. Happy birthday for Hockey Day tomorrow. So it's another birthday.
82.
Yeah.
I didn't know you guys were the same age.
I'm actually a couple years older.
Well, you're hiding it well. Mm-hmm. Toronto Maple Leafs last night win again, so that's back-to-back for the first time since early December. Connor McDavid also had another brilliant performance, and the Ottawa Senators.
What's going to happen
great,
there?
Great story. Spectacular story happening between the Ottawa Senators on a night-to-night basis and then the Montreal Canadiens. But you've got two Canadian teams that are going in slightly different directions. Let's talk about Toronto to start. Mike Babcock wins.
You want to
in
start with Toronto?
Game.
Okay.
Yes.
McDavid's a pretty good story.
You know.
Too.
You know why?
Why?
Because it does function as a Toronto radio show
as
and
well,
then, and
as
then
well.
Goes outward
as well.
As well, then goes outward. Okay.
Okay.
So we're playing to
the masses,
the people in the cars,
the masses.
And then everybody else. It does become a hockey show throughout the hour.
Let's go.
We should have a meeting before the show.
Well, we could have, but you two socialites. You're two socialites.
Yeah. Who is Toronto MVP?
Leo Komarov.
Oh,
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's the guy in the pipes.
I do too.
I've been saying that for like 3 years. I really think that Reimer has got the raw end of the deal. I think, again, I know this isn't just in Toronto, according to Darren, and I hope Bernier's family's not listening, but I think he had a real small sample size of success.
So if they were listening, you wouldn't say the same thing?
Well, I phrase it differently. A small sample size of success with LA, and you look at that team that go on to win a Stanley Cup with an unbelievable defense core, and then he comes over here and he's automatically presumed to be the number one and take over the job on a team that doesn't have the same defensive core. And everyone thought it was Reimer's lack of success would be translated into Bernie's success because of where he's coming from. Well, it hasn't been the case. I think Reimer had a great start, gets injured, and he's kind of never really found his place. And they kept giving the ball back to Bernier. Bernier, for me, has never convinced me that he can be a number one. Yeah. And you know what? Reimer's finally having a chance to run with the ball this year for the first time, I think, in the last three years.
In the Bernier era.
In the Bernier era. And I think he's won the job.
Actually, before you chime in here, okay. Statistically.
They're 20th in the league, by the way.
I know, but statistically, save percentage and average, James Reimer's numbers are challenging the best in Toronto Maple Leafs history.
Oh, yeah, but that's relative. Forget about Toronto Maple Leaf history. What does he do against the rest of the league? Where does he compare to the rest of the league?
He does have. Well, he's top. He's at the top of the league. Yeah.
I've changed my mind on the MVP. Who I'd pick?
Who?
I would do it as this is one of the years you don't have one.
You have to.
No, you don't. No. Why? Why?
Because I'm telling you.
No.
You have to. It's the rule of the show right now.
Oh, stop. So when you're 19, 22, and 9, I think this is one where you lose together and you win together. And
that's a cop out.
No, it's not a cop out.
It is.
It's actually
every team has to have a best player.
Well, no. No, that's the problem with some teams is they don't have and by rewarding the best of the worst.
Yes.
No, stop. Just say, hey, listen, this is a bad team. They're trying to make the best of it. It's a work in progress. We won't recognize the roster 3 years from now, and life goes on. That's really what it is.
Okay,
you know that, and I'm right. You know I'm right.
James Reimer has a .932 save percentage and a .212 goals against average, which has him right around the tops of the league, with a defensive core that has been much better this year.
He only has 10 wins.
Well,
with those
I'm
numbers.
Going to the he's not he doesn't get run support.
Exactly, it's amazing.
And the only other people are going to disagree with me and probably get tired of everyone talking about the coach, but I think Mike Babcock has the team playing respectable hockey despite their losing.
They have a lot of moral victories.
Yes, and I think that goes to maybe even Shanahan for the way he has brought in all these people, but they really have changed the way you look at the Leafs and the way they lose. And there's no such thing as a loss is a loss, but they've had a lot of, John, you said, moral victories in their losses,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's why you can look at them and say, yeah, they're losing, but they're on the right path.
Would you say...
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
Would you not be surprised that a Toronto Maple Leaf goaltender in this season, and you rattled off their record mm-hmm. and where they are in the overall standings, mm-hmm. would be 7th overall in goals against average and 2nd in save percentage?
Save percentage is the one that's the important one. The goals against is I think that's more team. I think the save percentage is a reflection
of... That's shocking.
I'm with you.
Thank you, PJ.
And I think you look great today.
You do too.
Thank you. Go ahead, John. You have anything?
Get a room. Both of you.
Listen, I don't know what it is in the city.
Can we have two rooms?
Yeah. No one in the city will give James Reimer any credit. It's been 3 or 4 years. Yeah. Everyone loves Bernier.
I don't think everybody loves Bernier. I'm sorry.
Well,
I just don't think they've liked the goaltending period. And I think that there's been a time over the last 3 or 4 years where everybody has waited for Reimer, as spectacular as he can be, to make that one or two mistakes per game.
That's fair.
And whether in Mike's system he gets a better opportunity, we all acknowledge that he's changed his style a little bit, and you have to give him credit for that. But it was always, a year and a half ago, was that where was that glove save?
And last night it was there.
Well, that's good. That's good.
My argument could be, look at Pecorine. What has he done in the last 3 years with the defense in front of him? Yeah, he had a great year, but since then he's been sliding. I can tell you, Mike Smith, under the system they play in, it was Phoenix. They keep shots to certain angles. They bring him Brizgalov. You bring him to Philly in front of a defense that's porous. There's reasons why guys have success and reasons why guys have lack of success. And I think when they do have success, you have to credit them and give them congratulations. And Reimer has really turned things around this year, and I think you got to give him a little love, John. Stop being so negative.
Actually, what impressed me about Reimer, and the one thing happened earlier this week, he's played 200 games for the Maple Leafs. And it's rather quietly he's played 200 games, in my mind. So he's actually been here longer. I think he's in the top 7, I think, now of goaltender appearances for the Maple Leafs. But I don't want a reward.
But you're not rewarding the best of the worst when you look at.
I don't want to reward mediocrity for a
but
team.
But it's not. Look at that.
Team's mediocre. Right there. The team's mediocre.
Look at where
it's
you
a
said.
Team sport.
You said relative to where you are to the rest of the league. Look at where he is to the rest of the league.
That's better. Oh yeah. Okay.
That's.
Tied for 10th all time. Sorry, thank you.
For appearances as a Maple Leaf goalie. But where he is to the rest of the league, he's their best player.
Okay.
We won that one. What's next, Aaron?
Knock one down, throw it back, and get back at her. Yes, we'll have another. Connor McDavid.
How about who's the Montreal Canadiens MVP this year, then? Well, I'm just saying. I think their MVP is a guy that's not even playing. I think if
Ellie said that last night, that some of the Buffalo players told him that Carey Price should get the MVP of the National Hockey League again this year.
Well, that's what I did on the stock exchange last week, but you missed it. But it's okay.
And we probably said it on the world's greatest pre-game show three weeks ago.
You guys are watching that stuff. But yeah, it's amazing what Carey Price has done. That team last year finished 23rd overall statistically offensively, yet they had a great year.
Carey Price can't score goals.
I don't think Carey Price is the problem here.
Well,
Montreal. They can't score a third goal.
That's right.
Yeah.
They lose 3-2 instead of winning 3-2.
No, winning 2-1.
2-1.
Because remember, they still can't score the third goal.
Right. Connor McDavid.
Goal, PJ. I know you've been dying to talk about him.
John and I had the opportunity of doing the game last night. And it's, the first period started last night and four periods in a row.
As it usually does.
Four periods in a row, they were spectacular. The line of Eberle, Pouliot, and McDavid. And we were just sitting there giggling to ourselves. This is going to be awesome. He's going to get 19 points tonight. Got two. But just, I think the one thing that amazes me for a kid that has missed as much time as he has and how young he is, just the confidence that John used the word swagger last night, so I'll follow up on that, how it's so contagious. What he does on the ice, how everybody feels that much better once mm-hmm. he makes a good play in a game. Everyone's like, whoa. And all of a sudden you're on the bench and you get the tingles and you get a little bit excited. You want to get out there because you want to be part of the magic. And again, he got the ball rolling in the first period last night. So it was four periods in a row. They had a slow second, but a big third. But it was kind of, you were excited for his next shift. And then the team's next shift and everything snowballed. And John last night showed a pack of how everyone was doing little things that they don't normally do because you just feel that much more confident. You have swagger. You felt that much better.
You can talk about PJ, what he did last night.
I can't remember. the thing about what McDavid does for the Oilers is the domino effect of you put him on one line, then it takes a ton of pressure off Taylor Hall. So all of a sudden, Todd McClellan has the opportunity of a 1-2 punch. And then rather than forcing a guy like Mark Letestu to be the second center, which they were forced to at times this season, Letestu's playing in the right position. And then Matt Hendricks and Letestu's lines, both of those lines are put into the system, I was going to say sparingly, but there was a time in the first period last night, for every two times we saw the Hall line, for every two times we saw the McDavid line, we'd see Hendricks. Then we'd see Letestu. And what a difference that makes to the whole concept of offensive hockey. And the speed of the game. I know we all think he's... I've been blown away for the last 2 years with McDavid. And I know he's good, and we've said how good he is and how good he's going to be. I just think that he exceeds expectations every time.
Well, look at the power play numbers. In 37 games without him...
Yeah.
They have 14 power play goals. In 15 games with Connor McDavid, they have the same number of power play goals.
They were 5-for-6 the last two games on the power
play. One of the things John was talking about, how it helps the team offensively.
Oh, geez. Did you not do something last night?
No, just now he said it. Did you just not listen? But there's more to it. It also throws the other team off defensively.
Totally.
Because the way they start, I thought McClellan did a great job coaching last night early in the game because Carlson was the matchup against McDavid, as John mentioned last night. And the issue was,
don't have an original thought, do you?
No. John told me to say that too.
So, I did not.
What happened was last night he started off with the Hall line.
Yeah.
Which actually John brought it up because they had benched Hall in the third period of the previous game. So they start Hall as a reward. It goes on. They start Carlson. Well, they, you know, Carlson gets on one shift, and then you put on the second line came on, the third line, and then they waited for Carlson to get out there. Carlson comes on for the shift against McDavid. Right after that, he comes right back with Hall. So Carlson can't be staying out there for two-minute shifts. So you're getting Hall up against the second set of defense in the second or third line of Ottawa. And I think he did a great job in the first 5 minutes to, you know, maybe get Ottawa thinking a little bit too much about the matchups and giving the Oilers space out there, as John mentioned, and it created speed and offensive chances, which gives you, I guess, more swagger. As John
Six
mentioned.
Points out for the Ottawa Senators right now.
Yeah.
And they had a closed-door meeting after the game. Dave Cameron was asked.
They being the Senators.
Senators, yeah. They had a closed-door meeting after the game, the Senators, and Dave Cameron was asked whether he was going to go in and rip them apart. And he said, no, you can't do that in today's world with today's athlete.
Did it change since Tuesday?
I know, that's what I was thinking.
That's not fun. Dave's a good person.
I know, but I was thinking the exact same thing. But he also said, they need me now. They need their coach right now on their side. But it's gone sour fast. They're a fun. They've been inconsistent all year. But
offense, I think, can't be taught. I think you're kind of, it's a gift. A lot of guys have a skill set that. I mean, I took shots in my backyard for 10 hours every day since, and I still can't shoot the puck. And then you look at some guys that just McDavid. What he does with the puck is amazing to watch. Defense can be taught. And defense is a lot about not only you have to teach players where to be, and you have to convince them in almost the Tortorella effect of, you know, the sacrifices that have to be made. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of the game can fall on coaching. And I don't know whether it's the players not buying in, the players not making the sacrifices, or whether it's the coaching. Mm-hmm. But to give up the amount of shots that they give up, and the goals that get scored on them, how, I'll use the term weak, they are in front of their own net at protecting their goalie. It's frustrating to watch because I don't know if it's the coach or if it's the players, but there's a definite miss there because the defensive part of the Ottawa Senators game is weak.
Yeah, and they do miss some veteran leadership too. They do miss some guys. I mean, Kyle Turris, no Milan Mikhalyk, Chris Phillips, I mean, limited play, but certainly I think they probably miss him in the room. I'm not sure who's supposed to lead that team right now. Forget it. And I mean, when Dave Cameron says I have to be there for them, I'm not sure, like, who would run that team meeting inside? Who would be the one that would stand up? Would it be Bobby Ryan?
Mark Mathot?
It's tough first
but
game.
But boy, first game after seven away. I mean, that to me is, I mean, and Erik Karlsson is the captain. One would assume he's the leader. But does he have too much on his plate already all the expectations he has?
Four times this year, they've surrendered seven goals in a game.
Yeah.
That's 1980s-like.
And Craig Anderson, for the most part, as I understand it, has been very good this year. People around the team would say we'd shudder to think where we'd be without Anderson.
When you watch Carlson play, and last night I thought he threw me off a couple minutes into the game, just because I think he's out there on a shutdown role. Okay, we saw what Connor McDavid did in his first game back. You know, you're the captain. You know your job is to shut down this kid. And he ends up making a bad pinch early in the game that leads to an Eberle goal. And you want to go into the locker room and you want to say, guys, we have to be better defensively. We have to do all these things. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that or convince your teammates if you don't do it yourself. And that's something in Ottawa that I know everyone gets wowed about the offensive capabilities of Carlson, which, I mean, it's beautiful to watch what he does.
But he's never going to play a shutdown role.
You have to, those sacrifices, he has to learn that part of the game. Or I know some people get fooled by his points and say that he's the best defenseman and should win the Norris. The Norris is about the best defenseman. I don't want to say he's... I'll go with weak. Weak's a nice word.
He's a rover, though, isn't he?
He every play that he makes defensively, he's thinking of how he can turn into an offensive opportunity.
His numbers are going to be amazing this year.
Yeah, and they're, what, 6 points out of a playoff spot? What does that tell you?
That he's just one guy. I mean, I don't Like in their own zone, they out-hit the Oilers last night. But normally, they're not a physical team in their own zone. They don't know how to push people out of the way in front of the net. They don't do a good job of moving the puck out of their own zone if it's not for Erik Karlsson. So, and he can't play 60 minutes, 65 minutes. He played just over 27 last night. So you have to wonder how much more can he burden in order for this team to accept. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall on that team meeting and wonder who the guy's standing up and saying, hey, we've got to be better, we've got to do this. Because everybody on the ice last night, everybody made mistakes.
Everyone, I agree. But again, you're the leader, you're the captain, you make a bad pinch early in the game when you're already down 1-0, makes it 2-0, and you know, yeah, that lead. And then not only that, on the Draisaitl goal, he swings the wrong way and gives him too much space. And that he's one of the best skaters in the game, and it's unacceptable at times when he's too good.
Yeah.
He's too good. That's the only thing I think, because I hold him to
such high.
Do you
think he's trying too hard?
I think they get scored on so much. See, he tries to turn into a track meet because he know he can win that part of the battle. I don't think enough guys on his team
we
can.
We need more Ottawas in the NHL.
They're fun. They're fun to watch. Well, they can score.
It wasn't fun to watch them last night.
No.
It wasn't fun. I mean,
if you're going to break it down to one game, of course not.
But you're saying you'd love the 7-5 games.
I love them.
Oh, yeah. I like the 7-5.
Pittsburgh game the other night that Ottawa played was spectacular.
They lost both, though.
I know, but it was fun to watch. There's nine. What am I?
It's fun. Okay. It's entertaining.
I'd like a
coffee.
I'd just do my own show.
Do a podcast.
Oh, hey. I'm still laughing thinking of you as a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
With button down wings and glasses over the big eyes.
I'm not here.
The fly. Oh. You get distracted a little too, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do every now and then.
Well, it's Tuesdays, Friday. Wednesdays, Thursdays.
Now, don't get me started on that, okay?
The Atlantic.
I just said Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. Because that's when the show's on, right?
I stuck up for you on that one.
Who's that?
Can I bring you guys back to reality? Back to Ottawa for a quick second. And
sure.
Toronto and Montreal.
And Vancouver.
No, just.
And Edmonton.
Atlantic Division. How those teams are sliding and the Metropolitan is now picking up a lot of ground. Those are some teams.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's playing well. Philadelphia is making a great run. And
not suggesting there's only going to be three teams from the Atlantic in the playoffs, are you?
Well.
Detroit's in the playoffs by one point right now.
Yeah, Montreal and Ottawa, I'm sorry to say, the Hamburglar's not going to be able to do what he did, and I don't see them making a run.
Which Canadian team has the best chance to make the playoffs? Vancouver let a point go last night.
Yeah.
When you look at it, is it the Edmonton Oilers? Could it very well be?
The issue is they're chasing.
They're chasing one of the hottest teams in hockey right
there's
now.
There's issues. They're all out right now. There's massive issues. This goes back to John's argument
MVPs.
You're rewarding the best of the worst.
Yeah.
But
you just want an answer just to fill up time on this radio show.
I think it's an interesting question. If we're gonna rally around one Canadian team and root for them to get in,
right,
to be our representative.
So I got
who do we cheer
six
for
other
right
city,
now?
Six cities tweeting me right now, calling me a moron for not picking their team.
There's 30.
They're all doing, yeah. But they're not Canadian.
You know
teams.
What? There might be more. People in Memphis don't like you either. So they don't even have a team.
I can't win this. You know what? I'm gonna say take a team in the West though. I will, and I'll. You know what? I like Edmonton's last two games, and I think the way the West and the Pacific has gone at times. What a great game last night with Anaheim and LA! But I'll take Edmonton. I'll take Edmonton. It's tough though. It's really tough. Carey Price isn't coming back. Ottawa's given up 7 goals a game.
It will all go
Winnipeg
to
Winnipeg. Struggle.
Winnipeg. Holy smokes!
Who do you think?
The way the schedule has
Vancouver's
been,
sort of closest.
Yeah, but the way the schedule has been designed, Steve Hatzepressel does a good job after the All-Star break of making sure there's a lot of divisional
Didn't Robert
games.
De Niro tell you never name drop?
I've told you 1,000 times, don't exaggerate. The schedule maker does a really good job of creating divisional games. Like the Edmonton Oilers now have 13 divisional games the rest of the way. Those head-to-head matchups become so important in February and March. And it's the it's not a cop out, but it's the team that can go 12-1 in their divisional games. That's the reason the Arizona Coyotes have been so close to a playoff spot most of the years, because they've won all their games inside the division.
Now, I don't know whether it's fair to judge Edmonton because McDavid's been out, but they're 6-7-3 within their division.
I know, but it's a different team.
Yeah,
it's a different team now with McDavid back. And the other thing that we haven't talked about in Edmonton, I know we have to move on, is that Cam Talbot's given them some pretty good goaltending.
I think you mentioned that last night too.
Did I?
You did.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure.
But you're right. They have two lines now.
Sure. Their weakness is on defense.
Yes. I mean, good goaltending, and if they can find a way to keep the puck in the offensive zone as much as possible. Just, you know what, if I'm back there, just get the puck out of our zone. Do whatever you want. Flip it out, but let the forwards play with it.
Great, great scene last night. Brandon Davidson scored.
Yes.
And he actually played more ice time than any other Oiler defenseman last night. Davidson scored, and he was sitting on the bench like this was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, to me, that was a great picture of him smiling and his teammates enjoying it. That was fun.
I don't know whether you can use that phrase anymore.
Which one's that?
Greatest thing since sliced bread. Because this generation only knows bread is sliced. They've never experienced what it was like when you just grabbed a loaf.
When you were a little boy.
Yeah.
That's the point, Dad.
My kids have no idea.
Well, that bread doesn't take them come to sliced. A bakery.
Yeah,
then.
Get them a baguette or something. Treat your kids.
Get
What's
a
the matter with
bread
you?
Machine. Come on.
Why would I?
Are
the,
you?
Bread
are you
machine's
on...
the stupidest thing in the world. It just takes up space. People use it once, and then it's
but it
in
smells
the cupboard.
So good.
It's a great gift.
It's a terrible gift.
No, it's a great re-gift.
It's a great re-gift.
That is the dumbest thing going.
Okay, I'm going to sell my shares in the bread maker company.
We're going to take a break.
What? I'm only warming up.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We have a member of the Florida Panthers coming on the show. We are going to chat with him.
They're hot right now.
Oof. Again.
5 wins in a row.
And then we will also chat about the Philadelphia Flyers and delve into what's happening with the Minnesota Wild. They aren't the sexiest team in the National Hockey League, but they do deserve some commentary based on what's happening in St. Paul. It's Hockey Central at noon with PJ Stock, John Shannon, and Darren Millard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, and the NHL Network.
You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Continuing on Hockey Central anew with PJ Stock, John Shannon, and Darren Millard. You have some injury news from the Philadelphia Flyers, John.
Sean Couturier out 4 weeks with a lower body injury. And by the way, Yannick Weber, as predicted by Elliot Friedman and Ian McIntyre, Yannick Weber on waivers today from the Vancouver Canucks.
Haven't heard your opinions on Dennis Wiedemann. 20 games. Right, wrong, too light.
The issue is there's no real precedent for numbers for us to really go at. So this is one of the issues that I always had with these type of penalties. It's kind of like, what is the number? I wish there was a menu. I really wish you do this, this is what you're getting. So the number 20 might sound like a lot, but in this case...
But you don't think there is a menu? I mean, it's rule 40.2, and it says if it's intentional and deliberate injury to a referee, it's 20 games.
Do you think it was deliberate?
Well, that's
you're guessing the...
You don't? I don't think it was deliberate.
I know exactly what happened, and everyone's saying it's different. Listen,
why do we waste the last 40 seconds if you know exactly what happened?
He gets hit. He's mad. He's going. That linesman in his way, and he's more or less saying, get out of it. I don't want to say F you, but that's what exactly he did there. That's exactly what that play is. This concussion stuff, no way. If you're selling me on concussions, he plays the rest of the game. I know if you're hurt or you're concussed. This is him getting hit. A hit that he didn't like, that he kind of got hit from the side, spins into the boards, gets up, is going to the bench. He's feeling hurt, and there's a guy in his way. If it was a player or anyone, he would did the exact same thing. And that's the issue. He more or less says, get out of my way with that movement. And you can't touch ref. I have no problem, but it's... What? What are you laughing at, John?
No, it's just you. You have solved the problem. I mean, so you like the 20 games?
No, I just 20 games is a lot, but I like the 20. I'm stuck with this. 20 games is one fourth of the season. So
keep going. This is great.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to. There's no right answer to this, but there is a right answer to it. You know, I think you want to get pucks deep, but sometimes.
Oh, man. No,
I don't want to say anything about it's a real. Everyone's talking about everyone. Is it too much? Is it not enough?
Please save him.
No, this is unbelievable. This is Saturday from 5 to 6 on national television.
Oh, I know.
Folks, come and watch. Come and watch. It's fun.
Merrick deserves more money. Oh, and we want to send our best to Jeff Merrick and his family.
That's right. Hey,
is 20,
20, like, 20 games isn't too much if you go by the rules.
Yeah.
Now, what the National Hockey League did, in my mind, was they know that they can push this and protect the referees by saying 20 games. The commissioner will uphold the 20 games. And then with the neutral arbitrator, the Players Association can appeal one more time. And then the neutral arbitrator will be able to say 15, 12, no, 20's right. And the league will be able to say to the officials, guys, we went by the rule book. You got 20 games. That's what you think you wanted. That's what we believe in. And now the collective bargaining agreement is running its course.
Do you think he did it on purpose, Dennis Weidman?
The word purpose is a hard word.
Deliberate.
Yeah, I do. I do. I think he skated back to the bench. He was ticked off.
Yes.
He hit the first thing that he saw coming. You know, I have two dogs at home. Nice dogs.
Don't bring up how you kick them. Now's not a time, John.
But when you admonish one dog, what does the other dog do? Gets mad at the second one.
Yeah.
It absolutely happens. It absolutely happens.
You're putting feelings. You're reading feelings into your dogs. Emotions.
Five to six every Saturday.
No,
is that what just happened?
No, what it is, it's trickle down. I'm sorry, it is trickle down.
So you get Weidman's mad at Spot and Fido feels shame too.
No, I get mad at Lucy and she gets mad at Kevin. That's exactly what happens.
So those are dog names.
Yeah. So what happens is Weidman's mad. He's hit in the head. He's going back to the bench and now he's just ticked off and he's going to hit the first thing that he runs into.
That's
exactly what happened.
I don't want to say it against
either way. It's not premeditated.
I explained it the way I did. Mine was a better explanation.
No, Mike Babcock was
asked. Hold on. I'm not done. John, now let's go back to you for a second.
Yeah.
Or Darren, you're welcome to join in on this as well. With the arbitrator, it can also go to more than 20 games.
Yes.
Do either of you guys think that's an opportunity?
Based on their presentation from player safety the other night, when I listened to that,
I would have thought the
National Hockey League's explanation. Of the incident.
Yeah, it wasn't for player safety, but yeah. Well,
I would have thought that he would have got 40.
Yeah.
The way they went into detail about the incident.
I can only imagine.
And I think he deserves 10.
I can only imagine how many lawyers read that, rewrote it before they actually put the video out. Because I've worked there. I understand how these people work. Every word of that video was selected.
Bragger.
No, it was.
I worked there.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no right answer to this.
The next time those two cohorts you work with say, well, when I coached, interrupt, say, Bragger.
I coached.
And do it to the player, too.
Babcock
was
asked yesterday about the concussion protocol. He said, when a player says he's okay to play and keeps playing, he's okay to play. And that's basically what Weidman said. I'm good. I want to keep playing.
But
the issue today,
it's not 1964. It's not 1964. This is why concussion issues have arisen. Mm-hmm. This is why concussion lawsuits occur. Mike Babcock, I guarantee you within the Maple Leaf office, there are memos about how the protocol works. And if Mike Babcock doesn't want to follow them or doesn't read the memos or doesn't get the phone call from Lamorello Shanahan and Bill Daly in New York, then shame on him. That's a bad mistake.
I want to get back to this in just a little bit, but we're pleased to be joined by the leading goal scorer of the Atlantic division-leading Florida Panthers, Vincent Trocheck, with Darren Millard, John Shannon, and former National Hockey Leaguer, PJ Stock. PJ, you have the first question you want to ask Vincent. How are you, Vincent?
Good, how are you?
Good. You want to ask him how to pronounce his last name? There's a little bit of a...
No, I was trying to know if I had to add like a Trocheck or a Trocheck.
I mean, maybe in the past, like 100 years ago, but I tried to simplify as much as possible. Yeah.
You were very kind to him, Vincent. You could have told him something much worse than that.
How awesome is it having the success you guys are having down there in Florida this year?
It's been a blast. I mean, we have a great group of guys in here that enjoy every game, and the success we're having the last 25 games or so has just been so much fun, and the guys in the locker room are coming together, and everybody's having fun.
You always been a sniper, junior? Was that always your game?
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I kind of just was a playmaker, and I could find the net too in junior. And in the AHL last year and the year before that, I think I had a few, I think I had 15, 20 goals in the AHL. So, yeah, I mean, I've been an offensive guy.
Who's the personality that runs your dressing room? Because you guys have an amazing cross-section, both age-wise and personality-wise.
I don't think there's any one person. I mean, we have a lot of different characters in the locker room. Like you said, we have some older guys that lead the room. Obviously, Yager's been great. He leads by example, and he's definitely something special to watch off the ice, and all his accolades in the weight room and coming to the rink late at night. And then there's guys like Willie Mitchell, who's been a great leader all year and last year, Sean Thornton, Derek McKenzie, and then obviously Roberto Luongo, who's a guy that you respect so much, and every time he speaks up in the locker room, everybody's ears open up.
What was it like the first time you called him Yogs? Like, I'm really calling him.
I didn't know how to address him the first time he came into the locker room. I was walking over to him, Mr. Yager, Yarmir, JJ.
And the answer is it's now back to Yogs.
Yeah, it's just Yogs now.
Oh, that's good.
We were actually neighbors whenever I was growing up in Pittsburgh, which is kind of crazy.
Really?
Oh, that's
so
cool.
You'd met him before?
I went trick or treating in his house.
Oh, God, that is so good. What were you dressed up as?
I wore rollerblades just so it was easier.
Well, tough walking up the steps. But do you remember what he gave out?
Oh no, I don't remember that.
You got to remember whether it was good or bad.
Yeah, like was it like a small handful, or was it like the expensive chocolate bars?
He probably gave out Yarmir Yager cards.
So now, how many times have you bugged him that you actually have more goals than he does? You have 17, he has 16.
Not once. I don't think that's going to happen.
No,
he does have 1,100 assists. That's not that bad.
And is he
upwards of like 800 goals in his career?
Yeah.
So.
And has he invited you one of those late night practice sessions? Do you get the phone call? Hey, kid, I need somebody to pass the puck to, or you don't get any invites?
Yeah, he always talks to us young guys and tries to help us out with working on different stuff. And there's been times, a lot of the practices this year that we have, he'll pull the young guys aside and say, if you want to, I'm going to do a few things. He kind of does like a little mini bag session at the end of practice all the time. So I'll step in there and learn a few things from him.
Well, this must be hard, because who runs the music in your dressing room? Because you're playing today's music, or you're playing music, we'll call it John's music.
Well, you think Yager picks polkas or something? Well, or what?
I'm just saying. Who runs the music in the dressing room, and do the old vets give the younger guys a hard time about it?
I think we found common ground, and there's songs. We have like a little bit of a mix. So Thornton runs it sometimes, Peary runs it sometimes, and then there's times that I run it. And
what's your go-to? What's your go-to group?
Go-to group? Right now, I'm a big fan of the group called Chainsmokers.
Yeah. Hear that pause? Okay, hear that pause? That pause was the generation gap dropping.
That, with a giant thud right at the end.
It's more of an upbeat band, and it gets you kind of going.
Good. Okay, Chainsaw, I'm going to have to put that on my iPod.
What was the last concert you went to?
Last concert, Billy Joel.
Nice. Oh, I see. A piano man. That's good. Pretty good.
That and that was the generation gap coming back.
Jager brought him to that one.
Vincent Trocheck is with us on Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard, John Shannon, and PJ Stock here at Hockey Central.
You know, looking back at your junior career, you played with Tom Wilson, and you also played with Brandon Saad at some point. Did you think that both those guys were going to make it to the NHL?
Yes. I played with Sauter growing up. We're both from Pittsburgh, right. So I even from a young age, I think it was kind of clear that kid was special and he was going to go far. I played with Willie my last half a year in the OHL, and he was my line mate, and it was pretty clear. Everybody knew that he had pretty much every piece of the puzzle and to be an NHL power forward.
And so, when you play Columbus, you don't play them very often. What kind of exchange of communication would you have with Brandon on the ice?
I mean, it's...
No swearing.
We'll say hello. It's kind of tough to look at him during the game. I don't want to laugh too hard.
Why is that?
We're good friends. I mean, we go way back, so he always tries to get under my skin a little bit. He'll make a few jokes just to try to make me laugh on the ice, and I got to just ignore him.
Are you a chirper?
I used to be. I kind of weaned off of it. A little bit. In junior, I was definitely an annoying little rat.
who's an annoying little rat today in the game? No one's listening. You can just say whoever you want right now.
I don't even know.
How about on your team?
On our team?
Yeah, you don't get in trouble that way.
Saying that a teammate's an annoying little rat is not going to get him in trouble at all.
Oh, boy.
We have a lot of guys that just chirp. I don't know. It's funny. I don't know.
Before we let you go, 17 goals. What were your expectations coming into the season? What kind of goal did you set for yourself?
I really didn't set any goals numbers wise. I just kind of went into the season wanting to progress off of last season. And I think every year you go into the summer after the season just thinking about working on things and trying to get better at
everything. No, that's lame. Give me something.
I didn't set any numbers goals. It's just, I mean, I didn't know if I was going to be able to score as many as I have so far. And I think now, after halfway through the season, I kind of realized that I'm capable of doing that. So
okay,
going forward, I'm setting a little bit of a higher goal than I had previously.
When you score your 25th goal this year, I want you to think about this. I want you to celebrate by doing the Jager salute.
I thought about it so many times. It's just, I don't know if it's worthy yet.
He would love it.
Just like PK did at the All-Star.
Exactly. You know, just pull out. Just 25 goals. It's a great number in the National Hockey League when you score 25 goals on a season. The Jager salute.
Make sure you just do it at home, though, Vincent. Just a home game. Don't do that on the road.
If this one of my goals, I'll do it right at him.
All right. And then we're gonna take credit for it. Vince, this has been a ton of fun. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Chain smokers.
Trick or treat.
There's Vincent Trocheck of the Florida Panthers. Things we learned this week in the NHL brought to you by Boston Pizza. Order online for delivery. Boston Pizza will make you a fan. I'll go first.
Okay.
I learned Vincent Trocheck's a ton of fun to hang out
with. That's really good. Yes.
PJ doesn't like guests. But that's a lot of fun.
That's good. That's really good. I also realized this Connor McDavid kid is good. Not only is he good, it's brought the question of
Calder.
Can he win the Rookie of the Year if he continues on this pace?
2 points a game?
Yes.
I think he can. You know, because remember, the minimum amount of games played is 25, so... Because next year, if he doesn't qualify, if he gets to 25 games. So you have to give him a chance. If he plays 26 or more, then
they should hold him out at 24.
Well, you know,
if they're out of the race at game 24,
listen,
they keep him out.
If he only plays 39, not 40, what about, think about it.
I mean, contract.
I don't think it'll happen, but I'm sure somebody's thought about it. What did I learn? I learned it's really nice to go back to Vancouver and win and not really have too much of a smirk on your face, John Tortorella. I mean, just happy to be behind the bench with his broken ribs when his new team comes back to Vancouver and beats his old team.
You think he had a smirk?
I think he had more than a smirk, and I think there was a lot of money on the board.
Who gets the money?
Right now, the players need it because the escrow, because the Canadians...
Oh, yeah.
John said that.
Thanks for watching. We're not going to get to Minnesota. They're in a terrible run. So I think Mike Yeo needs to go on one of those tirades again so he can get the little ticker up there counting it up. But we'll see if they can turn it around this weekend.
We're going to put PJ in the concussion protocol. So
thanks for watching and listening. Have a great weekend, everybody. Hockey Day in Canada tomorrow.